I got to admit, I'm a little excited this morning. I'm kind of like a mix of anxiety and anticipation. Because we are, you might say, I've kind of been looking forward to what we're about to talk about this morning for a while, a long, long time. You might say that I've been in the waiting room for a while. While I was in that series, somebody actually said, "Well, Pastor Aaron, what do you think that you're waiting for?" Well, this is part of it. This is a big part of what I've been waiting for. And well, I know, like my teens, you've been waiting for something so important. It starts on Tuesday, right? School starts. So, in the spirit of school starting, pop quiz. Don't worry, you've been studying for this your whole life. I'm going to put a picture up on the screen, and you just tell me the three or four words that go along with it. You go ahead, shout out. I'm excited. I want you to be excited. So you just shout out. We're going to interact a little bit this morning, all right? I'm going to put the picture up on the screen. You tell me what words go with it. McDonald's. I'm loving it. That's it. I'm loving it. You paid attention during TV. What about this one? Nike. Just do it. That's right. What about Staples? That was easy. My personal favorite, Dunkin' Donuts. America runs on Dunkin'. Now, this next one is going to be hard because most of us don't want other people knowing we go there, but we all do. And we might duck and cover and get in before we get to see the slogan or just ignore the commercial. Whoa, somebody said it. Save money, live better. Awesome. Good job. Give. He had the humility to admit it. Good. And what about this one? Capital One. What's in your wallet? And every time I hear that, for some reason, it's in the voice of Samuel L. Jackson in my head. Because everything here that you're saying, it's memorable. It's something you don't need to know the words. You just need to see the picture to know what goes along with it. And everything that you just said says something about the entity that it's representing, right? So here, what about this one? Ooh, somebody started with the first word. Rooted in God's... Yeah, it's kind of muddled, isn't it? Rooted in God's word, growing godly family. Those are the words that go with that. And now comes the part that I'm anxious about. See, we were approached, by that I mean the church leadership, and we were asked to come together and re-examine Grace's vision. We were asked where we sense God calling us in the years to come, the unique DNA of Grace, and the community God has brought together that we know as Grace Baptist, and the community we have been called to reach. As we looked at this, we had to ask some really hard questions. We had to ask, does this give us a good roadmap for where God is taking us in the years to come? Does this even accurately represent what we actually value and the mission God has called us to? It served us well in years past, for sure, but will it continue to serve in the years ahead as we seek to reach our community? Let me ask you something. It says growing godly families. What about those who aren't part of a family unit? What about people who are single and are destined to be for the rest of their life? What about those who are celibate for the sake of Christ? Are we reaching them with this, or is it inadvertently sending a message to them? This place is not for you. I feel I need to apologize to our community because it has communicated that to them. I've actually had conversation with singles saying, I felt I didn't belong because right there in your title it says family, and I'm not. So if that has been you, I am so sorry. Does this really envelop everything that God has called us to be as a church? Will this make the best use of the unique giftedness that God has given the people here? And as we looked at this, we had to come up with an honest answer, and as painful as it was, we had to say no. Now, that does not denigrate this at all. Rooted in God's word, growing godly families. It has served us well. Without it, I wouldn't be here because we wouldn't have had the youth and family ministry. So it has served us very well. And I'm not saying that what I'm about to introduce is not saying that we are excluding this. We are still rooted in God's word. This is still the foundation for everything that we do, okay? Amen. You can say it. And we are still hoping to grow godly families. But is there more? What if God has more that he has called us to, both biblically as a church and specifically as Grace Baptist Church of Tyrone, Pennsylvania? Our search led us to this, what I'm going to call a proposed mission statement. And I say proposed there. That word there is so important. You need to understand something very clearly. This is not the elders saying, this is our new mission, get on board with it or get out. That is so far from what we're saying. We're saying, you, several people, came to us saying, what is our vision? What is our mission here? Where is God taking us? And we say, this is what we believe God has called us to do as a mission. This is not carved in stone. This is not shoved into our constitution. This isn't even official. This has been approved by the elders for presentation to you as a church to approve. No, tonight we have a quarterly business meeting. This is not to be discussed. Well, this will be discussed, but not decided there. November 10th is our next quarterly business meeting. And over the next 6 weeks, we're going to tease this thing out a little bit. And then you'll have a month to process it before the next quarterly business meeting. Where then, at that point, we will determine as a church, is this where we also sense God leading us? Because this is not an elder-ruled church. This is an elder-led church. All we are is lead sheep, part of the flock. So, I want to make that explicitly clear. This is not authoritarian, get on board or get off. Please, no. We don't want to roll over anyone with this. But this is the proposed statement. Grace Baptist Church exists. As a community, this is our purpose for being here. To glorify God. Period. You could put the entire thing that we are going to talk about today in the next 6 weeks into that brief statement, but that's a little vague, isn't it? Because there's a lot of good things that we could do that would glorify God, and if you do everything that's good to do, you don't do anything good. You don't do anything well. You don't do anything right. And beyond that, we aren't capable of doing all that it takes to glorify God, because that's what the whole church is supposed to be doing, not just Grace Baptist Church. So what has he called us to specifically? And we believe that there are three things that God has called us to do specifically as Grace Baptist Church that will glorify him. That is the ultimate purpose, but these three things. By serving our community, seeking the lost, and growing as committed followers of Jesus Christ. Those three things. Now, as we go through these things today, you're going to see five different colors. These are all color coordinated, so it's easier to follow because it could be easy to get lost. Okay, which one's which? And I wanted to make sure that that doesn't happen. So you're going to see anything that revolves around our community, our connectedness, our relationships, what we do here as a group, that is going to be in orange. We'll explain the colors later. I promise each one does have a purpose. It wasn't just arbitrary. Whatever has to do with declaring the glory of God, worshiping God, praising God, celebrating God is going to be in blue. Then there's going to be everything that has to do with serving is going to be in yellow. Everything that has to do with seeking is going to be in red. And everything that has to do with growing is going to be in green. These are the color codes. But this mission, as well as the colors, led us to what I would also like to propose to you with this new mission statement. I would like to propose, we would like to propose, a new Grace logo. Each one with a purpose. Each one with a direction. Again, this is just recommended. We haven't paid a cent for this. We are not committed to it. I'm emotionally committed to it. That's about it. And we're, as I said, we're going to unpack this over the next 6 weeks. And today, I apologize. Today, it's going to feel like you're drinking out of a fire hydrant. Because we are going to get a bird's eye view of all of this. because I want you to be able to see how the pieces fit together, like a jigsaw puzzle. You get the big picture first, and then you see how the little pieces are going to fit together. So we're going to get a big picture today, a bird's eye view. And this, if this is the mission, and this is the emblem of the vision God has given the leadership here, this is the model of how we think it will work out. I know, like I said, you feel like you're drinking out of a fire hydrant right now, don't you? Wait a second. Mission statement, logo, don't worry. We'll be reviewing these over the next 6 weeks. But I want you to understand something. There are two foundational points, the first of which is worship. This is the absolute foundation for everything that we do, because if you take worship out, all we are is a bunch of people who connect to serve, seek, and grow. That becomes a club, a society, not a church. This is a house of prayer, a house of praise, a house of worship. That is what we are here to do. Everything that we do depends on our worship. In everything that we are about to talk about, if worship is taken out, everything else crumbles to pieces as far as its purpose. But then there's also connecting, that we naturally are brought together when we worship God. The people who are drawn to God are drawn to each other. Christ will bind us together. And we're going to talk about these two fundamental points for a minute, starting with the base of all this, that blue worship. Why blue? Why that picture? Well, blue is symbolic of both the depths of the sea and the heights of the sky. It represents the meeting of two extremes. And if you ever go to the ocean and sail on the ocean when it is perfectly still, you can't tell where the sea begins and the sky ends. Those two extremes meet at a point. That is what we call worship. Because when God meets with us, we simultaneously see his glorious splendor. The Bible describes it as so far above us as the heavens are above the earth. But we also get a sense of our humble lowliness, our unworthiness. Yet, he still welcomes us into his presence. That's worship. Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. We must understand the truth of who God is, what he has revealed himself to be, what he has done. But we must also understand who you and I are. We sang about it this morning. I am who you say I am. No, we didn't coordinate songs. God's just awesome like that. Let's be a community of people searching for both the truth of who God is and also the reality of, and who am I in the face of all that? So we worship. We are cultivating. The principle behind this is we are cultivating an authentic awe of God as a church. God has called us to worship and to lead others to be worshipers of God, to provide opportunity to declare and to observe God's wondrous glory as often as we have the opportunity to do so. This is our primary purpose. Without this, we fall apart. Everything is God-centered to show how good God is. And we'll dig into this next week. Our purpose here is not to show how good we are. Our purpose here is not to show how good Grace Baptist is. We are not going to be all about, hey, check us out. Folks, a couple of weeks ago, we had outdoor evangelism meetings. People got saved, and you know what? They went to other churches. Bible-believing, brothers and sister churches. Praise God, souls got saved. We don't do that because we need people to come to Grace. Please come. We want you here. We love you here. But if God takes you somewhere else, our nose doesn't get bent out of shape. We're part of the same flock. You're just in a different stall. Fantastic. We are worshiping God front and center. So in this logo, there is a G. And somebody asked me the question, well, is the G for God or is the G for Grace? Exactly. People shouldn't be able to tell the difference. We're not here for us. We're here for him. The meeting of the heights of the sky and the depths of the sea at one singular point that we call worship. That's what this morning is all about. So that is front and center. Everything else pours out from that. Anything else? I hate to say it this way because it stomps on my own toes. It's idolatry. Man. That is what we are here for, to glorify God. See, the Westminster Confession, one of the most profound documents in Christian history, the very first question, it's like hundreds of questions, the most important questions you could ask a Christian. And the most important question is, what is the chief end of man? What is our primary purpose for existing? And the answer is, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. If that's your main purpose as a human being, why should the church be any different? And in fact, it is based on what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let me get that straight. So not just what I do on Sunday, not just what I do when people are watching, 100% of it? Because that's the theological meaning behind that word all. Is all. So whether you watch football, whether you drive, whether you work at a meatpacking plant, whether you're a mechanic, whether you're an executive administrative assistant, we do all to the glory of God. He is at the center of what we do as a community. Everything we do points to Him. Because in a verse we're going to look at later, we are called ambassadors. Think about this. If we send an ambassador to another country, everything he does, everything she says, reflects on us. Everything we do says something about God. Sure, you might not be talking about Him, but that says something about Him. If you're not. So everything we do points to Him and flows from Him. Okay, so that's the blue G in the middle. What about that orange arrow, that connect? Orange is associated with fire and the warmth it produces. Wow, that actually looks a little yellow on the screen, doesn't it? With fire and the warmth it produces. Like orange, warmth is only possible when certain elements interact with each other. How do you get orange? Red and yellow. You take two colors and have them interact with each other, and you get orange. How do you get fire? Come on, Boy Scouts. Heat, fuel, and oxygen. You have to have all those elements working together, right? If you have heat and fuel, you have fire. You have red and yellow, you have orange. We have Christians together, we have connection, we have community. Because just like fire and orange, God has designed to sustain and grow His church by connection and interaction between the members. God hasn't designed you to live a life of solitude, of monasticism, not to be a monk or a nun silent somewhere in a corner just reading your Bible without anybody pouring into you or pouring into anyone else. Throughout the New Testament, we are told these things. Serve one another. Encourage one another, hold one another in high esteem, build intimacy with one another, speak to one another, teach one another, and more than anything else, more than all of those commands, we are told to love one another. How do you do that unless you are constantly connecting with others? Because each one of these take frequent, intentional, and relational time together. Connecting to one another. Yeah, sure, it's going to be uncomfortable. That's the point. We get uncomfortable when God is working in us, using somebody else. He has a design for us. The red starts going, oh, no, I'm less red, oh, no. And the yellow's going, oh, I'm picking up somebody else's pigments. And they don't realize God means to transform you, using each other. That is what we are connecting for. That's why orange is a perfect color. So we connect. The principle behind this is people who belong to God belong together. People who belong to God belong together. God has called us to connect with one another as a loving, serving, encouraging, and helping community. Boy, that sounds an awful lot like a family, doesn't it? Just yesterday, for the first time in 10 years, I was together with all four of my siblings. And the dynamics were so different than if it were just one of us, two of us getting together, maybe even three. You put four of us together, wow, we give our parents such a hard time. The dynamic is different when we connect. We build off of one another. We enjoy each other even more. And guess what? There were wounds in our family that were healed yesterday. That's what happens when we connect. God has built us as a family. If we got together with our actual biological family as frequently as we did with our spiritual family, how lonely would we be? We are called to be a community. We are called to be a family for you and for your family, whether you're part of a family or not. A family for you. Connecting to God together. See, everyone, let me say this very clearly, everyone has a place here at Grace. Absolutely everyone. And that builds intimacy in and amongst us. That's why we have small groups. That's why we have Sunday groups. That's why we get together for bowling and dinner and all these other things. That's why we have our events. That's why we have Alan Scott Band come in. That's why we have all the events here. That's why we go out to other events, because God has built us to connect to one another as a body. Jesus pointed to this when he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." He says almost the exact same thing three times in two sentences. Do you think he was trying to drive the point home about something? That he has designed us to love one another, and how do you do that in seclusion? If we loved our spouses in the same way we claim to love other Christians, oh, somebody already giggles. It'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Jesus says, this is to identify you. Not only is it supposed to be a small part of your life, this is to be an identifying feature. Just like everything we do is to glorify God. Everything we do, wow, did-a-do. New word now. Everything we do is to be out of love for one another. Glorify God. Love each other. Connection. Love is the closest form of connection. Love is what identifies a true follower of Jesus. And love like this in community doesn't happen on accident. It doesn't happen overnight. Love is nurtured over many experiences together. That's why we don't just have one event a year and say, okay, there's our connection. Woohoo! No, it's weekly. It's monthly. It's day in, day out. Because imagine this. Imagine you are out on a date. For some reason, you are out on a date. It is your first date with someone. And you just say, I love you. Yeah. They're going to run. Wait a second. Hold on. You don't even know me. Like, we've been talking maybe an hour or two, and you know some facts about me. You might know my name. But if you start popping out, I love you, that gets awkward and uncomfortable, doesn't it? So no, what I'm not saying is that as soon as we greet visitors and everything, we love you. No. We understand connection takes time. Connection takes relationship. Connection takes some intentional time together. But let me ask you this. If by the end of your first anniversary of your marriage, you have not said the words, I love you, somebody's going to say something's wrong with your relationship, right? How long have we been together? And I need to apologize, because to many of you, I have not said, I love you. So let me say it very clearly, except for those of you here for the first time, because I don't want to creep you out. I love you. And we love each other. That is what we are driving towards when we talk about our connection. So those are the two foundational things. We should all be doing these two things, worshiping and connecting all the time. But sometimes we're going to fall into three separate categories, a specific area where we might be gifted or burdened in these specific areas. And those are the three pillars you see in the center. We all worship, we all connect, but some are more gifted in one area than another. The first pillar, this one here, serve. This one is using our skills and resources to help others. Seek, that's taking the good news of Jesus Christ to those who are far from God. And grow, this is developing our Christ-likeness through His Word. So these three we're going to discuss. The seek, the serve, which is yellow. Light is represented by the color yellow, correlating to illumination and knowledge. Light reveals the truth to all who see it. Since ancient times, light has been a metaphor for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, for being able to see reality as it truly is. Light pouring into the darkness and giving away the truth and saying, this is how things really are. Because I can get up in the middle of the night and have my bedroom memorized, and what I don't know is my dumb dog just parked himself right next to my bed, so I step on him. But if I turn that light switch on, I see the truth of what is there. The church is called the light of the world. And we shine the light of the gospel when it lives itself out in our lives through humbly serving others as Christ, serving like Christ did. Jesus said it this way, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let your light shine so they see your good works. He's saying your good works are a light that show people our Father in heaven. And also the Son, I would add. Because He is the one who is giving us the command. So, we serve. And the principle behind serving is simply helping everyone take the next step. Whatever it is. We serve to get beyond people's boundaries and borders because they have these edifices up. No, don't talk to me about God, but sure, I'll take whatever you're given. Sure, I'll take some help. Okay, yeah, I guess I'll talk a little bit about Jesus because you just helped change my oil. And I guess I can show up to church once because you helped me pay my heating bill and I would have frozen to death without it. And all of a sudden, you've gotten them to the point that they are starting to see the truth of a Jesus that loves them whether they love Him or not. And all of a sudden, they start to see the light. So we serve. See, God has called us to serve Tyrone, the surrounding community, and pretty much any other human being that you brush shoulders with. See, this is helping everyone take the next step. This is caring for our community. This makes us distinct because who else serves like this? Who else serves just for the sake of serving? It's always, hey, I want your business. Hey, I want you to like my company. Hey, I just need some extra money, so can I mow your lawn? Who else serves and says, I just wanted to serve you? That makes us distinct. Is light distinct from darkness? In the biggest way possible. Now, this does take a balance between holiness and acceptance, that is, sanctification towards God and yet loving towards the people around us. But this is getting into the world while remaining separate from it. We get into the world, and as I said a couple of weeks ago, we are not of the world, but we are still sent into it to be that light, to be that salt, to be different and distinct. Now, I'm not calling for a social gospel. That is not at all what the elders and I are calling for. But the gospel does have social implications in how we interact with the communities around us, and one of them is serving our community. So then, as Paul says it, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those, with a particular favor towards and a bias towards those of the household of faith. That's what Paul says in Galatians 6:10. He says, let us seek to do good. And Jesus said, when you do good, you are shining a light. So we serve. Paul said beforehand, for you were called to freedom, brothers. And usually we just stop there. I am freed from my sin, free at last, praise God Almighty, I'm free at last. And we just go on with our life. Yeah, I'm free in Jesus. Yeah, but let's not forget the rest of the verse. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Folks, your freedom from sin allows you the opportunity to serve others freed of the sinful motives so that you can reach them for the sake of Christ and, Lord willing, bring them into the light as well of the gospel. That's why we serve. So what does this look like practically? Well, if we look at that logo again, if you haven't made the connection yet, that little yellow arrow on the left, that stands for serve. And you'll see this pillar, this column on the right. There are going to be in each one of these three segments. And each one is a level above the next, each one dependent on the levels below it. Otherwise, again, just like a pillar, if you take down the lower levels, what happens to the rest of the pillar? It crumbles. See, each level is dependent on the one below it. And the first level of serving is church. In-house, serving. The tech team, vital, absolutely important. High commitment, appreciate it. Doing food service, praise band, ushers, everything that happens within this building for this specific community. That's what this first level is. But then we go into community. This is group service. This is outreach events. This is hands and feet type ministry. This is community cleanup events. This is the needy meals. This is local missions as a church when we reach out to Tyrone and the communities around us to serve them. That is the next level of service. And then it goes beyond that to individual. This means you're not doing it as necessarily a group of grace. You're doing it on your own. You're seeing a need in your own place and reaching and meeting that need as much as you are able. This person is going to be a self-starter, able to serve on their own without supervision. And the ultimate goal of this is to be a servant leader, leading others in service, serving those in their care. This is somebody that nobody has to hold their hand to serve and follow. Somebody who can stand and say, there is a need. God has given me a resource to meet that need. For the sake of the gospel, I'm going to do everything I can to be a light here where I am. That old children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I might not be the brightest candle in the box, but I'm going to shine. Now, this is accomplished by service events, coordinated teams, as a church body. That's what we are looking for. To do, to serve. Now, what about that red arrow on the right? You'll notice the two arrows in the middle, they're going horizontal, and the two arrows on the top and bottom, they're vertical. Together, they make a cross. What's at the center of the cross? The G. Okay. Hidden symbolism. It's wonderful. But on top of that, vertical relationship. Our relationship with other Christians is based on our relationship with God. And we'll get to grow in a moment, which is the green one. But that red and yellow deals with those primarily outside these four walls of a church. Red. The arrow is red because red is linked to rescue, sacrifice, and danger. Its attention-grabbing ability warns of hazards and alerts people to vital information. Think about the fire exit signs around you. Think about red fire trucks. Think about the Red Cross. Think about the fire extinguishers. Think about the lights that are on most emergency vehicles. Think about red stoplights. What happens if you ignore a red stoplight? You're going to end up hurt. It's a warning for you. All Christians are called to sacrifice, to get people's attention, and actively seek to rescue souls from hell by the power of the gospel. Folks, we are on a rescue mission. Listen to what James says. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul, will rescue his soul from death, and will cover a multitude of sins. We are on a rescue mission here in this world, and so we seek. Because here's the principle behind this one. Found people find people. We sing the hymn, Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. If you've been found, God is calling you to go find others that need to see what you have seen. God has called us to to seek those who are far from Him and bring them the good news of Jesus Christ, to share the hope of the gospel. We don't have to force it on them. I understand that. But we are called to give it to them to know, as no excuse. See that red stoplight? Do they put a barricade up in the middle of the intersection to stop you and make sure that you stop? No, but that doesn't stop that red light from shining and making sure people know there is danger ahead if you don't stop. You can go on ahead at your own risk, but you're not going to like the results. And that's what we're called to do. Not necessarily be a roadblock, but to be a light, saying, no, what you are about to do is going to cause you harm and damage. That is our role. And we are on, sometimes, the offensive. And that means seeking. Have you ever played hide and seek with a person that didn't know what seek meant? And they just sit there trying to look for you? How did that go? Not well. Seek is active. It's not passive. We're not just waiting for the lost to come to us, but actively seeking them out. And as we unpack this in a few weeks, we're going to see that it will employ both truth and grace. But God has called us on a search and rescue recon mission. Not my words, Paul's. I'm sure he used those exact words. But listen to what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Let me pause there just for a second. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us. So there's a group called us that has been reconciled by God through Christ. Okay? To be reconciled means to be put back in a right relationship. Us. That same group has been given the ministry of reconciliation there. He says, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. What we have received, we have been given the ministry. What is a ministry? A responsibility, a duty, a stewardship, something to be taken care of and entrusted with. We have been entrusted with the very thing that Christ has given to us. So we seek. Says, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, that is, us, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through, who's that? The apostles. Those gifted with evangelism. No, us. All of us. Now, that does not mean you necessarily need to go door to door. That doesn't mean you need to be doing the street art evangelism. That doesn't mean you need to be standing up on a stage telling people the good news of the gospel. It starts as simply as telling your friends, relatives, associates, and neighbors about the Jesus that's changed your life. The reason I was with my family this week, I got the opportunity to preach the gospel to my unsaved brother who was getting married to officiate his wedding ceremony. Scariest day of my life when the kid brother preaches to his older brother. But it's an opportunity I wouldn't pass up. And sometimes it's just a face-to-face conversation. We are on a search and rescue recon mission, seeking out souls who are far from God. The Bible calls them lost, dead in their trespasses and sins. We are rescuing them from hell through the power of the gospel alone and bringing reconciliation to their lives. Search and rescue recon mission. And I love the way J.D. Greer puts this. God didn't change you to quarantine you. He converted you to commission you to a specific mission. He didn't just call you to be on the side and set apart and, you know, just make sure that you're pure. He called you to commission you to a specific mission here on this world. So we seek. Seek correlates to the red arrow in the emblem. And the level of investment and involvement increase here based on each level. At the very first level is invite. This is inviting your friends, relatives, associates, and networks. For abbreviation, we'll just call them FRANS. 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 Get your friends to church services, events, inviting them to our outdoor services, inviting them to our, we have a Christmas cantata or an Easter service or something, to Faith Day, whatever it is. You're inviting them. And all it is, hey, we got this going on. Why don't you come along? I mean, we even provide invite cards for stuff like this, right? Hey, come on out. The next level is sharing. This is giving your story, telling the basics of the gospel. Jesus, God's Son, died for our sins and paid the penalty for our way to hell. Pretty simple. He died, buried, and rose again the third day. This is giving out tracts. This is visitation as a group. This is sharing. And it's much less awkward and much less heavy on the investment level as evangelizing itself. Personal evangelism. Now, this is walking people through the gospel. Friend, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You realize what the Bible says about that, right? And you think you're a good person, but have you ever lied? Well, the Bible calls you a liar. Have you ever lusted after a person with your eyes? Well, God calls you an adulterer. And you think a lying, adulterous person is going to be getting into heaven? No, so you have no hope. And being able to walk them through the hope of the gospel that Jesus paid for those sins, that's the next level. Being able to reach the lost on your own. Now, you might have a track there to help you through that. That's fine. Or some sort of tool. But the goal is, eventually, that you would become a soul winner. Servant leader, soul winner. Capable of training others in the work of reaching the lost. And this is through our evangelism training classes or workshops, seminars. Personal discipleship with those who are evangelizing and sharing the good news of Jesus. And just your own personal experience. That's how we grow through this one. You get better at sharing by sharing. Just like you get better at ice skating by ice skating. Apparently, I don't ice skate very much. The color, red, is for the rescue. You get better at your mission as you carry it out. That's your training. But we do want to provide resources for you as a church. So going forward, a big part of this is going to be the evangelism training, is going to be personal discipleship in this. And then the very last color. So we've seen the orange, we've seen the yellow, we've seen the red. What about that green? The color green is associated with life, advancement, and growth. It identifies those environments that support life, development, and health. When God calls us to eternal life, He calls us to a lifetime of growth and being conformed to His image. Without spiritual growth, there is no spiritual life or health. If you look at a picture of the globe, you can actually tell where the deserts are, where there is no life. How? They're brown, or in the case of the Gobi Desert, it's totally white because it's covered in snow. Nothing can live in it. Where do you know that there is life? It's green. Green is a sign of life, of growth, of something that fosters growth. And that is what we have been called to. Peter says it this way. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement, and that means growth. Supplement means you're adding something on top, building on top of growth. Supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And that's a lot of growth, isn't it? But get what he says here later on. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, there's that growth again. So not only do you need these qualities, you need to be growing in these qualities. They keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we grow. And the principle behind this is we are growing in God's Word. We are growing in God's Word. See that rooted in God's Word? We're not walking away from it. It's right here. Many of us were lied to when we were kids, especially in a Sunday school class or VBS, because we sang a song. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. How many of you sang that? Lies, all lies. Because I know many people that read their Bible every day and pray every day, and they're about as spiritually mature as a fetus. because it takes a whole lot more than just reading words and mumbling something to the empty space. The reality is, yes, you will not grow unless you are reading your Bible and praying as frequently as you possibly can. Don't get me wrong. Those things are required for growth, but it takes so much more than that. Because God has not called us to just show up to a building on Sunday, sit in a seat, sing some songs, hear some words spoken, flip through some pages of the Bible, and mumble some prayers. That's not what He is calling us to. He has called us to a vibrant, thriving, personal relationship with Him that is growing deeper and deeper every day and transforms us from the inside out as we are made more like Him. If my affections for my wife were the same as the day we got married, we'd be in trouble. If our relationship didn't grow and mature as we grew and matured, as our life situations changed, we would be headed for disaster. We love differently. We certainly don't love less, do we, Adrian? Praise God. She answered yes. But friends, this is all based on God's Word. The Bible talks about Christ washing us with the water of the Word to remove the spot, blemishes, and wrinkles of sin. That's what growing is, through the washing of the water of the Word. It's Ephesians 5. And this happens when we are hungering and thirsting after God. You only grow when you want to grow. The Christians that grow the fastest, they're the ones that are upset that they're not growing faster. The ones who think they're doing pretty good, they're spiritual dwarfs. It's those who see that there is so much more to go, that realize there's so much more growth to have. And each person, look, I am not responsible to make you grow. I'm responsible to equip. I'm responsible to preach. I'm responsible to teach and protect. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, pastors, make sure your people grow. It says in Peter, you add to this. You supplement with this. We are each responsible to grow as a community, but we are each responsible for this. And this happens when we are in our relationships with God growing deeper, and when our relationships with each other growing deeper through God's Word. That's why we are told, Peter again, 2 Peter 3, 17 through 18, he says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow, he says, in two things, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity forever. We are to grow in those two things, the grace of Jesus Christ and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do you grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Here. This is our knowledge of Jesus Christ. How do you grow in the grace of Jesus Christ? Here. This will tell you all you need to know about it, to grow in it. It happens in God's Word. Hebrews 10:24 tells us, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's why we preach from the Word on Sunday mornings. That's why we get together and talk about it, study it, read it together, because that helps us grow in community. We grow best when we grow together in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yes, grow connects to that final arrow, the green arrow up on top. And the level of knowledge and wisdom will deepen in each level on this pillar. And this starts off with just some basics. By the way, we already have this in place. We have a Bible basics class that meets Sunday mornings. My office, 9 a.m. This is where you learn facts, narratives, the stories of the Bible, the big beliefs of Christianity, a general outline of the Bible. And no, that doesn't mean you have a 3-point for every book of the Bible, where you know Genesis was the days of creation, this was Joseph, the Tower of Babel, the Ark. No. A basic outline of the Bible, understanding what God has been doing since the beginning of time and what he will continue to do until the end of time. And you see the overarching narrative of Scripture. That's just the basics. The second level is studying. This is what we call hermeneutics, being able to take this book and say, no, 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 what it really says is this. This is what it is saying, being faithful to the text. And this gives you methods of how to study the Bible, how to study it for yourself and be sure that what you believe is based on the Bible itself. What the Bible calls rightly handling or rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. This is also theology, which is just the study of God or the study of God's word. This is systematic and biblical theology, which is just really complex ways of saying, understanding what verses say and then understanding how verses interact with each other. And here you will understand the controversies of the faith, how some people have taken some passages and made them mean something Scripture never intended them to mean. And this will also teach you distinctives. What does it mean to be a Baptist? Because we're Grace Baptist Church. Why not Grace Catholic Church or Grace Methodist Church? What's the difference? Ideally, here, this is where you will learn the distinctives. Finally, the last stage here is application. This is where you are able to take Scripture and apply it to your everyday life. You're able to take the passages that say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and being able to apply it wisely to your own situation. Not just understanding it from the text, but understanding it what it is in your own life. This is an awareness of the implication of biblical truth. And the ultimate goal here is that you will be self-leading. So a self-leading person who does not depend on others to teach them what a verse means. What if you got to the point that you didn't need me to tell you what the Bible means? That's when you become a teacher. So the whole point of this is that you are able to turn around. You know, somebody had to tell me what Scripture meant for a long time. Still do. I learned from others. And then I teach you. You have learned. So if you ever get to the point that you just say, Pastor, I just don't learn a lot from church. Good. That means you're at a point that you can teach somebody. You have all that knowledge, all that wisdom. Now you turn around, give it to the next generation. Because if you don't, if you storehouse it, what if somebody had done that for you? Because at some point you learned everything that you know. Give it to others. So that is the ultimate goal here. Able to turn around and teach others, discipling the next generation. And this is done through classes, through what we do here Sunday mornings, through small groups, through personal discipleship. But that leads us to this model. So now you've seen the big picture. Now you've seen how it works all together. And I would like to share with you my vision, in brief, where God is taking Grace. Grace Baptist Church vision. This is Pastor Aaron speaking. This is my heart. I imagine Grace as a community where everyone has a place to worship God, to belong to a family, to serve our community, to seek the lost, and to grow more like Christ. This is my vision. This is our vision. I want you to understand, this was not something that I sat in my office for an hour and threw some stuff together. We actually locked ourselves in a room for almost a full day working on this. Much prayer and fasting went into this. That doesn't mean we've got it exactly perfect. I would hope that this engaged you this morning. My hope and prayer is that this just provides at least direction towards where God is leading us. But this, I believe, is where God is calling us. And this, I believe, will become the picture that people will come to know, those who connect, serve, seek, and grow in this community. Would you stand and join us as we sing?
Before we sing, I'd like just like to take a minute to thank the elders, because I've been through this exercise at my work many times through different reorgs, and I personally know how much effort these kind of things take, and this is definitely well thought out from what I've seen, and I'd just like to thank the pastors and the elder board. This is great, and I appreciate your time and effort in coming up with this. So please sing with us.
In my heart and break me apart, I need you to open my eyes to see that you're shaping my life, and all I am, I surrender. Give me trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. Broken inside, I give you my life. I need you to soften break me apart. I need you to pierce through the dark and cleanse every part of me. All I am, I surrender. Give me faith to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life. I may be weak, but your spirit's strong in me. My flesh may trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. Broken inside, trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. I'm broken inside, I give you my life.
Perhaps one of the most beautiful benedictions in Scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I know today was a lot to take in. My prayer is that in all that we do, Christ and God the Father would be glorified. I pray over the next week as you have time to digest some of this. Don't worry, this will be online so you can go back and say, did he really say that? If you have any questions, please call us. We don't mean this to be, you know, here, pour it on you, now you deal with it. Our hope and our prayer is that God takes us to places far beyond our wildest imaginations as a church. As you go, may you go in peace. Thank you.